I'm Patrick Scahill for WNPR News. Millions of tons of sediment and sand could be dumped into the open waters of Long Island Sound in the coming decades. That's according to a recently unveiled federal plan outlining what to do with materials dredged from the bottoms of coastal ports and harbors. But what exactly is dredging, and why is it such an issue off Connecticut's coast? In the first of a two-part series, I explain. Why do our port bottoms keep filling up with stuff like sand and sediment? Put simply, if nature sees a hole, it's going to fill it.
Well, dredging is done because many harbors are naturally quite shallow.
That's George Whisker, an environmental analyst with the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. He says in the old colonial days, shallow draft boats could navigate our waterways with little problem.
But as ships got bigger and bigger, there became a need to create channels for them to get into the harbors and get out again.
Thus, dredging, a fancy word for cleaning up harbor beds, which need to be free and clear of debris for boats to get through. For decades, it's been a crucial part of the mission of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which is involved in lots of coastal dredging projects on Long Island Sound. Last month, the group released its plan for how to manage an estimated 50 million cubic yards of material it plans to dredge from marine bottoms over the next 30 years. And its plan is generating some controversy among environmentalists. But before we talk about that, how does all that sediment get there to begin with?
Yeah, it's really difficult to, say, aha, definitively, this amount's coming from this source and this amount is coming from another.
But scientists have ideas. One answer, Whisker says, lies in erosion. Upstream sediment gets knocked loose during, say, a heavy storm and flows into a river like the Connecticut, making its way downstream until it reaches Long Island Sound.
And when the current stops, the sediments will settle out. And depending on the size of the harbor, the amount of tides, do we have any big storms, you can get significant amounts of sediment.
Nothing illustrates this process better than a 2011 NASA satellite photo taken after Hurricane Irene. That heavy rainfall kicked up lots of upstream sediment, and viewed from space, it looks like silky chocolate milk spewing into Long Island Sound from the mouth of the Connecticut River.
That was incredible, but, it was a great example showing how much Mother Nature can really move this stuff around.
And Long Island Sound currents can push sediment into harbors as well. James Tate is a professor of marine and environmental sciences at Southern Connecticut State University. He says picture a room with a ray of sun shining through the window, and the sediment is like dust floating in the air.
They're like dust motes, how they just kind of float and float and float?
He says, like dust, sediment needs to find a quiet environment in order to deposit itself, and harbors are ideal.
If you were in a room and you were looking at dust motes and you wanted those to settle down, you'd probably leave the room, close the door, and seal the door and wait for a week or something like that.
Tate says coastal marshland can act the same way, so when the Army Corps of Engineers dredges all this stuff up, you can probably anticipate the next question. Where does it go? That's where some environmentalists get riled up.
Hey, we're not against dredging. We totally understand and want dredging to continue in both New York and Connecticut.
That's Adrienne Esposito. She directs Citizens Campaign for the Environment, an advocacy group in New York and Connecticut.
It's very important for access to the waterways, for navigating our waterways. We get it. Simply what we're saying is let's begin a new way of dealing with these dredged materials that's safer, cleaner, and more environmentally responsible.
Dredged sediment can have a lot of uses. It can be recycled as sand or sediment to rebuild beaches or coastal marshes battered by climate change. It can be dewatered and put in a landfill, or it can get deposited into the open ocean. But the kind of heavy metals and chemicals found in that dredged material worries Esposito. In our next story, we'll explore what we know and don't about open water disposal of dredged sediment and its impact on Long Island Sound ecology. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News. Yesterday, in part one of our series, we explained the basics of dredging. Today, a look at the chemicals inside those dredged materials and how dumping sediment in open water might affect the ecology of Long Island Sound. Before a harbor floor gets dredged, scientists need to ask a really basic question. Is it polluted?
The public has to hold the Corps' feet to the fire to make sure they do not violate any of the criteria associated with the disposal in Long Island Sound.
Larry Swanson is an oceanographer at Stony Brook University. He studies marine pollution, and he's talking about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, an agency that manages a lot of coastal dredging projects on the Sound. Last month, the Corps released a plan for how to manage an estimated 50 million cubic yards of sediment and sand slated for dredging over the next 30 years. It says some material will find a second life receding coastal habitat battered by climate change, but it also says some could be dumped into open waters. And while the EPA says most dredged material isn't contaminated, some is, thanks in part, Swanson says, to our state's industrial past, back when we made products using chemicals whose environmental impacts we didn't fully understand at the time.
When Connecticut was largely involved in the jewelry industry and the hat industry and other industries.
That history left behind a chemical legacy of heavy metals embedded in some coastal bottom sediment. George Whisker from the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection says it also left industrial waste,
which are known as PAHs and PCBs and also pesticides.
For that reason, the Corps says any dredged material proposed for open water disposal will have to pass stringent testing requirements. As Whisker explains it, he says before dredging even begins, that means taking core samples.
And the bigger projects, the federal projects, also have to automatically undergo biological testing, where they're put into aquaria with certain very sensitive minnows.
That's to see if harbor sediment kills the fish. If it doesn't, Whisker says the core samples are then put into other tanks for bioaccumulation tests.
They sit for about a month, and then the survivors in there are analyzed for if they've uptake any of the materials, the bad constituents, and if they did, to what level.
If the sediment is contaminated, Whisker says options are limited. The harbor either won't get dredged, or its materials will be dug up, buried deeper in the harbor, and capped with clean sediment, kind of like an underwater landfill. If it's clean, the Corps says the dredged material is fair game for open water disposal. But even if it's relatively pure, could dumping tons of sediment on Long Island Sound ocean bottoms still have long-term ecological impacts? Scientists like Whisker and Stony Brook's Larry Swanson don't think so. Neither does James O'Donnell, a professor of marine sciences at UConn.
It's pretty settled as far as I can see that there's really no adverse impact that's been documented from the disposal of reasonably uncontaminated sediments in Long Island Sound or anywhere else.
But environmental groups say they're still frustrated by the Corps' lack of vision in dealing with disposed materials.
Well, first off, dredged materials should be looked at as a resource and not a waste material.
Adrienne Esposito is Executive Director of Citizens Campaign for the Environment. She and other groups like Save the Sound want to see a greater push for reuse of dredged materials in habitat restoration and coastal resiliency projects. Esposito says she's also worried about how ocean currents could move sediment when placed in open water.
And it's all different size sediment, it's all different size grains, it's all different constituents, it doesn't go straight down.
While some drift is unavoidable, Deep's George Whisker says scientists have identified specific Long Island Sound drop zones, and that sediment is dropped on different areas of those zones at different times using GPS. Much like a farmer cycles his field season to season to let soil rest, Whisker says rotating drops let the ocean floor life redevelop. Larry Swanson at Stony Brook says when you look out at Long Island Sound in 30 years, you're not going to see anything different because of dredging.
Sea level rise is going to be a much bigger problem for us in the next 30 years in Long Island Sound than anything that we're putting in from this dredged material disposal plan.
The EPA now has until later this year to rule on whether it will reauthorize the use of certain disposal sites in Long Island Sound. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News.